Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot, and the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my ass.
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello and welcome in. This is a Thursday edition of the Hoosier Report. Glad to have you with me here. And of course, a lot to get to today. The Wednesday 5 o'clock opening of the third evaluation window has came and gone. Coaches are back out everywhere. Archie Miller was spotted down in Orlando at the AAU Super Showcase at the Wide World of Sports on the Disney World campus to begin the period for him. I think all the other IU assistants at some point yesterday were at a whole bunch of different events in Las Vegas watching a number of prospects that are out there. So it's been really fun to kind of watch where the coaches go. And, of course, later this week there's actually a smaller tournament in Fort Wayne, which is where the Indy Heat team with Trace Jackson Davis and Keon Brooks, who has been out. He's been missing games the last, I guess, week and a half or so with this kind of a minor injury. But they will get underway. Trace Jackson Davis and that team will get underway later this week. And you can bet that Indiana will have an assistant there to watch their games as they have dating back to the spring. Every opportunity they've had, Indiana has had someone there courtside to watch Trace and Keon's game. So another busy period. Coaches on the road. Las Vegas, I saw a scene from out there last night. Jeff Rabjohns is there. There was a tip-off game kind of at one of the tournaments called the Fab 48, and it was set up specifically to feature the best Nike team, which was Peach Jam champion Team Takeover, against the Adidas Gauntlet champion Compton Magic. They played at Bishop Gorman, which is one of the really nice high schools with a lot of courts in Las Vegas that always host a lot of the big July events in front of basically a full crowd. You can see the photo. I mean, it's not Indiana bleachers. It's not a capacity of a gym that we may be used to in the area. But still, for a summer basketball game, pretty neat and a kind of a neat way to – a neat twist on, I guess you could say, getting the Las Vegas scene underway for the final period between those two shoe rivals coming from different companies. But welcome into the show. Let's take a look at the guest lineup today. It's going to be a real simple guest lineup here on this Thursday edition of the program presented by Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Alex Bozich will join me in segment two after I do some news and headlines of the day presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in the first segment. We'll talk with Alex in segment number two and three about IU basketball. We'll talk some about the current team, the current roster, more about what's going on this summer in the offseason, and of course we'll dive into the recruiting pretty hard as well. Keon Brooks confirmed earlier this week, and I'll talk about that in the headlines here in just a moment, but he kind of gave an idea of if he had to pick right now the five official visits that he would like to make. Of course, Indiana has an official visit already set up. It's the only one he officially has confirmed. It's going to be at Hoosier Hysteria, but we'll tell you the other schools that he's saying at least right now would make that list of five that he would like to visit before he maybe narrows things down a bit. So we'll talk with Alex about that and much more coming up a little bit later in the program today. That's the guest lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. You'll get $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget, tonight we're in Indianapolis for Little League Baseball. Last night we were in Fort Wayne. That was the 10-year-old championship game. A lot of fun. New Albany Little League won that state championship over Bedford 11-0. We thought it would be a really close game. New Albany just kind of took off about middle of the game and was able to continue to build its lead from there. Tonight we're in Indianapolis at Decatur Little League. That's for the main one, the 12-year-old division. It's called the Major Division of Little League Baseball, and the winner of this state tournament becomes Indiana and goes on to the Great Lakes Regional, which will also take place here in Indianapolis later this summer. New Albany in the 12-year-old division, they have worked their way to a semifinal game tonight. Now, each of these tournaments in Little League a little different. They're double elimination. This is a modified double elimination tournament. I should say the 10-year-old tournament was a modified version where once you get to the semifinals, it's one and done, just like a normal tournament is. But this here, the 12-year-old in Indianapolis, if New Albany wins tonight, they go to the championship game tomorrow night. If New Albany were to lose against Evansville Highland, a game we'll have tonight at 6 o'clock, they would go to a 5 o'clock semifinal on the loser side of the bracket, still have a chance to get to that championship game. Nonetheless, we'll be here the rest of the way. As long as New Albany's 12s can continue to advance, we'll broadcast their games. And again, our first one for them coming up tonight against Highland Little League. Very good team. I understand last night from the coach when I got to Indianapolis, it should be a great game tonight. And of course, this is that big year. It's the year where you got an opportunity, if you win your state and win your regional, to go all the way to Williamsport, Pennsylvania for the dream of a lifetime for every Little League player, any of us that ever played Little League. You want to get to Williamsport, and this New Albany team taking some steps here in Indianapolis to get a little closer to that. So make sure you join me tonight, 6 o'clock for the first pitch. It'll be a big game and should be a lot of fun. Hoosier headlines, let's take a look at some of the day's top news presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Seems like every day there's something to do with a former IU player in the NBA, whether it's a change in teams or someone getting an opportunity. The latest to get an NBA opportunity, or another NBA opportunity, I should say, is Troy Williams. Yesterday it was reported that he has agreed to a deal with the New Orleans Pelicans. He left IU, of course, in early 2016. He's made appearances during NBA regular season action for Memphis, Houston, and the New York Knicks. He's played 51 NBA games in his career, started 17 of those 51 games, and during that time he averaged 16.9 minutes per game, 6.2 points, and 2.6 rebounds per game. So add Troy Williams to the list of former Hoosiers with an NBA opportunity for the upcoming season. This year for him it will be with the New Orleans Pelicans. I didn't mention this earlier, although yesterday we were talking about Cliff Marshall and some of the off-the-court developments that he tweets out about this team. Over the weekend, he sent out a note that Jawan Morgan and Al Durham were named Indiana Men's Basketball 2018 off-season champions, and I'm quoting Cliff's tweet here, for their, quote, great effort and improvement in the weight room. And there's some pictures of Jawan and Al with a belt, like a professional wrestling type, boxing type belt that a champion might wear with the IU insignia. It's even got the Big Ten insignia on it as well. And of course, a picture of those guys in the weight room with their shirts off and of course flexing their muscles and that sort of thing. So congratulations to those two. Again, Cliff Marshall continues to kind of keep us posted on some of the developments off the court, which again, it's a big part of college basketball. It's a big part of taking your body to the next level, especially for the number of incoming freshmen for Indiana. And we all think about Romeo Langford, I know, when we talk about incoming freshmen, but if you ask a lot of people, the number one thing Romeo needs to do to get himself ready to be a major contributor, like a lot of people are projecting him to be for Indiana, it's not his game, it's not his shot, it's not his dribbles or his moves to the basket or his defense or whatever you might think of first. It's really his body. And again, he's got an athletic body and a lean body, those sort of things. But to take that to a Big Ten level, to handle that physicality, that's a big thing. And obviously Indiana, not just the incoming freshmen, but even players like Jawan Morgan returning for his final season, that is something that they are working on. Let's look at some recruiting notes here for this Thursday. Of course, this time of year, recruiting is what really keeps things ticking in the offseason. I mentioned Keon Brooks with an interview with Jeff Rabjohns earlier in the week. He told Jeff, quote, right now, I for sure want to take one. He's talking about official visits to Indiana, Michigan State, Kentucky, UCLA, and North Carolina, is what Brooks told Jeff Rabjohns. Now, Indiana knows they for sure are getting an official visit with Keon Brooks That date is already set, September 29th at Hoosier Hysteria. That will obviously be a huge day. Trace Jackson Davis has his official visit set for that date that weekend as well. And every year, as you know, Hoosier Hysteria is a major opportunity for recruiting to bring in prospects that Indiana has offered, is very serious with, and even some that maybe they aren't. Younger guys especially give them a taste of what the IU fan base and IU basketball is all about. But for Brooks right now, those five schools, and you can only take five official visits, they are definitely not the only five schools he's considering or the five schools that are heavily recruiting him, but those are schools he thought he wanted to visit. He also listed Purdue, Iowa, Georgetown, and North Carolina as well as other schools that he's considering, other schools that he's listening to as the recruiting process moves along. Couple notes I mentioned at the top of the show as far as where the IU coaches are at. I think by my count, just looking at social media and trying to track different things, all IU assistant coaches at one point yesterday on Wednesday evening were in Las Vegas at various tournaments watching a number of prospects. Archie Miller actually started the live period, the final window, last night down in Orlando at the AAU Super Showcase. Really, Orlando and Vegas, I think you could say, are the two hot spots. Vegas by far has the most number of events and probably the most number of the shoe type high-level teams in that city playing with the number of different events that take place there. Some of the events to begin this period, like last night and today, are little short tournaments. In fact, one of them, a couple of them, I think have their, it's like an 8-team bracket of really, really good teams with a lot of players. One of them, and I'll have to look this up, but I think the championship game of that little short bracket is actually on ESPNU coming up later this afternoon, maybe even at noon as we go off the air. But then later, you'll see more tournaments this weekend, so teams will often get a couple different events. Some players like Kobe Barnes at Floyd Central playing in a camp, the Adidas All-American camp out west before they rejoin their team. So a lot of different things going. These five-day windows are kind of too long for your average weekend tournament, and of course players and coaches don't want to lose a day or two on the front or the back of those periods to evaluate players. So often you'll see teams hit two different events many times within the same weekend. Another note, and I mentioned this as well, but there's a smaller tournament. It's the Gym Rats Basketball Association National Championships. That begins on Thursday at Fort Wayne at the Spies Fieldhouse. Trace Jackson Davis there, Kamari Lands, Jalen Blackman, Caleb First, they are the players I believe that will be at that tournament that Indiana would be interested in. Of course, Keon Brooks will be there, but he's injured and not playing. So expect Indiana coaches to be spread out between Orlando and Vegas and definitely Fort Wayne coming up later today as that tournament gets started. Let's take a look at some Little League notes. I mentioned we're in Indianapolis for a big game tonight in the 12-year-old division of Little League Baseball, a state semifinal. Yesterday, New Albany 10-year-olds won the state tournament. They did so first with a 6-0 win over West Terre Haute in a semifinal game. The winning pitcher, Gavin Jackson, in that contest. Braxton Mayfield had a triple. Owen Gum had a triple for New Albany as New Albany advanced to last night's championship game with that 6-0 win. Then, in a championship game against Bedford, Bedford had not lost at the 10-year-old tournament either. New Albany beat them 11-0. New Albany put up three runs in the top of the third. Five runs in the top of the third, five more in the top of the sixth, and went on to win big, 11-0. The winning pitcher was Braxton Mayfield. There were doubles in the game, two from Camden Wright of New Albany and one from Lincoln Kruer. So that New Albany 10-year-old team, they win the state tournament. Of course, it's impressive because New Albany won the 11-year-old division the day before down in Evansville. Pressure on the New Albany 12-year-old team now. If they can win, it would be a sweep of those three important divisions of baseball in Little League. The Highlander Youth Recreation Intermediate team, they were playing at the Central Region Tournament in the championship game last night up in Kalamazoo, Michigan, and they lost that contest 6-2 to the Iowa team. So once again, HYR has a really strong intermediate team. They already won the state tournament, playing in the regional. They got all the way to the regional championship, one game away from going to the World Series. They fall to Iowa 6-2 in that contest. Also, Floyd's Knobs in softball, they are in the final round, not the final game, but the knockout round it's called, and they will take on an Iowa team today at 4 p.m. in the quarterfinal round of that bracket. And so, of course, coming up soon for them, the opportunity maybe to get to the World Series. They've got a couple more games ahead of them they would need to win, but they've had a nice run thus far at the Central Region Tournament taking place up in Zionsville, Indiana. Also, one final Little League note. We've been tracking or trying to track all the different teams from District 5, which is our immediate district in southern Indiana. Jeff GRC Charlestown had a combined softball team that made it to the regional tournament in Chicago after winning the state. They lost yesterday to Kentucky, so their run over as far as representing this area in the regional tournament. Heck of a run by those girls. Again, a combined team from Jeff GRC and Charlestown Little Leagues making that run from the district to the state and then to the region. One final note, we don't hear as much nowadays about it, but it's still out there thanks to Ricky Romans and some other guys, American Legion Baseball for the older guys, and Floyd's Knobs Post 42 will play in the Indiana American Legion State Finals, which begin Friday up in Kokomo, Indiana. Earlier in the state tournament, round by round, much like the high school tournament, the Floyd's Knobs-based team, which even though it's Floyd's Knobs, has team kids from across southern Indiana on the team. They beat defending champion, state champion Rockport in the Regional 7 tournament championship game. Kids from New Albany, Charlestown, Henryville, you've got some kids that have been through 1 year of college. You've got others that are just now graduating high school. You've got some underclassmen as well that make up that roster coached by Ricky Romans. But they will head to Highland Park in Kokomo. And again, they will take on Evansville Funkhauser Post 8 in their opening game on Friday. And from there, they could play Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and even Tuesday if they continue to advance on in the state tournament. Looks like a pretty strong roster, so we wish them the very best, and we'll keep you posted on their success over the coming days. That's a look at the headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Hoopsters is your hometown sports grill where hometown fans watch hometown teams play. Hoopsters was voted as best sports bar and best place to watch sports by the News and Tribune's Reader's Choice Awards. Hoopsters in Jeffersonville, where fun happens. We'll head out to a commercial break. When we come back, it's Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall. We always talk with Alex on Thursdays. Of course, IU basketball, the topic. Our chat with Alex is presented by CC Power Sports. That's coming up next after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And welcome back on this Thursday edition of the program. We always have the opportunity to talk with Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall, and our chat with Alex each week is presented by CC Power Sports. They have two locations serving Indiana and Kentucky. One is in Clarksville. That's the mothership store, so to speak. They carry Indian, Victory, Slingshot, Polaris, Can-Am, Sea-Doo, Honda, KTM, Yamaha, Kawasaki, and Suzuki. The Louisville store, right off of Interstate 65 in Southern Jefferson County, they carry Kawasaki, Can-Am, Sea-Doo, Yamaha, and Suzuki. New riders, welcome, and of course, racers, always welcome at CC Power Sports. Alex, a lot of different IU basketball topics to cover some ground with today, and it seems like, though, for former Hoosiers, the time has been good for opportunities in the NBA. Last week, Yogi Ferrell stole the headlines with the news that he would sign a deal with Sacramento and leave Dallas. Earlier this week, Noah Vonleh gets an NBA opportunity, and yesterday it came out that the Pelicans have added former IU basketball player Troy Williams for an opportunity. So the list of IU players going to be active in the association this upcoming season, really good, at least to start the year.
Yeah, it looks like most everyone that was a free agent now is signed, with the exception of maybe some of the lower tier guys who didn't play in the NBA last year, like a James Blackman and Christian Watford. But in terms of Vonleh and Williams, those are going to be two interesting situations to watch, because my understanding is neither of those guys got fully guaranteed contracts, so they're going to go into training camp with an opportunity to make the team, but they're going to have to play really well in training camp in order to do so. The fascinating thing to me about Vonleh specifically is, you know, he's still only 22 years old. It's hard to believe, you know, he was so young when he came to IU. I think he was something like 18, maybe turned 18, like right when he got to campus. So he was 18 when he was drafted. He's already spent 4 years, I think it is, in the NBA. He's earned almost $11 million. He didn't get to that second contract. That's one thing we talk about with guys leaving early is, it's not about the first contract, it's getting to the second one. And for Noah, he didn't get to that second one. So now he's going to have to kind of figure out, the best path forward for him, whether that's going to be staying in the NBA if he's able to make a roster, if he eventually goes overseas. But he still made $11 million. Hope he's done well in terms of investing and holding on to that money. And Troy Williams is another one, I think. At this point, he's 2 years into his career. He's kind of established himself more or less as a fringe rotation player, a guy who maybe will bounce back and forth between the NBA and the D League. But as long as he can hold on and maybe get onto the roster in New Orleans, you know, he's set to make a couple million next year. So good opportunity for him as well. But, I think everyone's situation is pretty much set now going into training camp, and we'll see with those two guys specifically if they make a team. And then obviously you mentioned Yogi going to Sacramento, which I think was a little bit surprising for a lot of people, but good for him to get an opportunity out there.
Talking with Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall. Don't forget, you can follow Alex at Inside the Hall on Twitter, and of course read all of his great content at InsideTheHall.com. I was reading something, Alex, on your site this morning, and you guys, it was on a recent podcast, were answering a question that I thought was very interesting. I'm going to pose the same question to you here. Talking about former Hoosiers in the NBA, now look at the current IU roster. Of course, Juwan Morgan went through the process declaring for the draft without an agent, then returning for his remaining year of eligibility. I would think he has a really good opportunity following this season, depending on what he does and how he does, to have an opportunity to make the NBA. Romeo Langford, of course, just an incoming freshman. His name is already appearing very high in some of the mock drafts, listing him, I think, almost unanimously as a lottery pick for the 2019 June NBA draft. Beyond those two guys on IU's roster, maybe it's another incoming freshman, maybe it's someone else that you have seen develop along the last year or so, are there any other any other NBA potential players you think currently in Bloomington?
Well, you know, we haven't seen what Justin Smith's going to look like as a sophomore, but he's one guy that's getting a lot of off-season buzz. As you mentioned, Juwan Morgan, I think an interesting thing with him this off-season, Indiana, I'm sure you've mentioned it, they've done a really good job of kind of sharing some bits and pieces of workouts and different things on social media. They had Juwan Morgan as a guy who's added 13 inches to his vertical, which I guess his vertical before was 27 inches, and now it's 40 inches, which is pretty incredible based on the information they put out. So I'm sure that's going to, you know, that's something that continues in terms of his athleticism getting better. He's definitely going to have an opportunity, maybe not get drafted, but he'll at least have get a summer league look and have a chance to play in the league. But Justin Smith, the guy I think a lot of people are excited about, I think he's obviously kind of stolen the show in the summer workouts by having that video where he got the 48-inch vertical, which is just incredible when you even think about that would tie like an NBA combine record. So just for that reason alone, the athleticism, I think he's going to have a chance to play in the NBA. And then also a younger guy, I think one day is going to have a chance to make it. Obviously a long way to go. We haven't seen him play a minute of college basketball yet, but Jerome Hunter, I've been hearing a lot of good things about how he's looked so far this summer, and kind of a little bit overshadowed by Romeo to this point, and rightfully so. I mean, Romeo's, you know, a top five player nationally and a guy who's expected to come in and make a big impact. But had Romeo chosen to go elsewhere, I think a lot of the conversation this summer we would be talking about would be on Jerome Hunter, and he's still, I think, going to have an opportunity to play a role next year, maybe smaller than originally planned, but over the next couple of years, I think he's someone that a lot of people are excited about, and one day we'll have a chance to play professionally.
Yeah, I agree. You know, there have been a lot of preseason lists. I saw a list of Big Ten incoming freshmen that could be impact players, and these are just, you know, people's opinion. And these guys do follow the game, and most of them are reputable. But and there's no way to know every player coming into every program in the conference, let alone the country. But I do think Jerome Hunter could be a real surprise to people, maybe not to IU fans that followed his high school career, especially after he committed to Indiana, but maybe a real surprise to people that it's not just Romeo. We know Finnessey, we know some of the other in-state guys, Demezi Anderson, but he could be a real surprise, I think, to a lot of people talking about Jerome Hunter.
Yeah, and I'm actually in the middle of doing some reporting for a series that I do every offseason where I kind of profile the incoming freshmen, and just from talking to different people about each of these kids, I mean, there's a lot of excitement. I mean, obviously, these are high school and AAU coaches that have been around these guys. But, you know, I think for the most part, everyone I've talked to is really excited about Jerome Hunter. They're excited about Jake Forrester. They're excited about Robert Finnessey. They're excited about Demezi Anderson. All these guys have been hearing good, positive things. And, that's, you know, that's kind of how it is every preseason, right? You hear good things in the summer. You don't necessarily hear so-and-so's not doing what they need to do or so-and-so's not playing well. But, just a lot of enthusiasm for this class. And, you know, I think Romeo kind of put it on the map nationally, but the foundation of this class, you know, getting those guys that are going to be there for maybe 3 or 4 years, I think down the road we're going to look back at this at this class, not only remembering what Romeo was able to do and probably what will be his only year in Bloomington, but we're going to look at some of these other guys and say, wow, you know, maybe they weren't studs as freshmen, but by the time they become upperclassmen, you could be looking at a situation like, you know, how Purdue did with their guys that they had in the program for 4 years, but they won a ton of games. They were kind of, you know, started kind of at a low point, and then they built it up over 4 years and had some really, really good teams. And I think that's kind of what Archie's going for. You sprinkle in the one-and-done, you know, really top talents when you can, and then you also build with guys who are going to be 3 or 4 year veterans who, you know, it's not as hard to – you know, when you do lose a stud like a Romeo or another kid that leaves early, you kind of have something to fall back on with a lot of depth in your program, and I think that's what this class has been provided.
Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall, presented by CC Power Sports. My guest, Alex, joins us every Thursday on the Hoosier Report. Alex, you know, you're a New Albany guy. We've known each other for years. I was thinking about this. You know, it's come up a couple of times, but I was really thinking about this a couple of days ago talking with somebody. When you think about Romeo Langford, he was such a heralded player and recognized as someone with a lot of potential, even when he was really young, and you've done a great job profiling his background in basketball when he committed to Indiana. He had some great pieces about even going back to his elementary days. But I think about, you know, being in Southern Indiana and in the basketball scene, the question when he was in 7th and 8th grade was, is he going to go to New Albany? Is he going to play high school basketball in the state? Or is he going to go across the river to, it was Trinity or St. X? Or is he going to go to some other, you know, basketball factory type school? That was the big question for that year or two. Then when he got to New Albany, his freshman and sophomore years, the question was, will he stay at New Albany? Will he finish there? Or will he do what some of the other top-ranked players do and go to a Huntington Prep or a Montverde Academy down in Florida? Then when he got to be a junior and senior, the question was, where's he going to go to college? And as he narrowed his list down, everybody had their thought about where the five-star prospect might choose. Now that he's committed to Indiana, I basically, within hours of that commitment, the number one question from fans and people that want to know, and I'm even talking about, this is written about in the media pretty common, is will he be one and done? And of course, his name is up there high in some of the projections for 2019, but there's no question about it that whether it's the middle of July with not a lot going on or we get into Big Ten conference play in January throughout Romeo's freshman year, that is going to be the question. Is he one and done? And if so, how high will he go in the NBA draft? It's been nothing but questions over his career, and I'm sure he gets tired of answering them. I know Jim Shannon and others close to him have gotten questions along the lines of what I mentioned, really, since he was in middle school.
Yeah, it's, you know, the thing about it is when you have a kid that talented, people are going to talk about whatever they can. Some of it's obviously to get clicks, some of it's to generate discussion, and you know, you've done a good job as anybody is covering his recruitment and kind of setting the tone as to how things really are around the kid. But you know, I don't think any of the hype or discussion is based on anything that Romeo's done, seeking out attention. I think it's just he's like good and people want to talk about him. If you're around him, he doesn't really say much. He's not a guy who's kind of looking for his name to be out there. It's all been because of his talent and how special a player he is. And yeah, that's going to be a question that overshadows, I don't want to say overshadows, but it's going to be a question that's happening all season. You know, when Indiana games are on ESPN this year, I'm sure there's going to be graphics coming up and saying that, you know, he's ranked number 6 currently in the mock draft on ESPN.com. If there's a game on Big Ten Network or Fox Sports, they're going to be talking about, you know, where he's ranked in the latest mock draft. I mean, that's just kind of how it goes when you have a player that magnitude. And I'm sure once he does decide to go pro, whether that be after a year or two, whatever the case may be, when he gets to the NBA, wherever city he's leaning in, they're going to wonder, you know, how long is it going to take for him to become, you know, a franchise type player? How long is it going to be before he becomes an all-star? Is he going to live up to his potential? It's just a never-ending cycle. And by that point, obviously, I think even by now, he's used some of the attention. I think he knows how to handle it. Not a kid that likes to say a whole lot, likes to let his do the work for him, and but you know, like let his play do the work for him, and I think that'll serve him well, especially this year. There's going to be a lot of different teams that are going to play in Indiana, and they're going to want, you know, to try to give Romeo their best shot, because you know these other guys are trying to jockey for position too and get noticed. And if they have a good game against Romeo, it's going to be noticed. The same thing will be happening when he gets to the NBA, when he plays in summer league, when he plays in actual NBA games. There's always somebody trying to take your spot. So I think he does a really smart thing by just playing ball, keeping his mouth shut, continuing to get better. And I think he's going to be really successful because of it.
Alex Bozich, presented by CC Power Sports. I want to talk a little recruiting stuff with you. I saw a report just earlier that Archie Miller back in Orlando for the second day of this final window. Before we get to recruiting, though, I had a note to bring up Al Durham Jr. He was recognized by Cliff Marshall as, along with Juwan Morgan, one of the off-season champions for effort in the weight room, improvement in the weight room as well. If you talk about players that, you know, have bodies that need some improvement or need some work, Al Durham definitely fits that mold coming out of his freshman season. And I think maybe some question marks surrounding what his role could be like on this team moving forward, with improvements from other guards, incoming freshmen, some of those players. But him working extremely hard in the weight room, probably a good sign that he recognizes he needs some of those improvements to be a contributor in year two for him.
Yeah, there's not a lot of guard depth on the roster either, so he's going to have to play. How much he plays, I think, is going to be determined by a couple things. One, how much is he going to improve as a defender? Because I don't think there's any wiggle room there with Archie Miller and the coaching staff. You're either going to guard people at the level that they want, or you're not going to play. I think that goes for anybody on the roster. I think the second thing he's going to have to show is improved shooting from the perimeter. That was a huge deficiency of Indiana's team last year. They brought in some guys who can obviously help in that regard. Romeo, Denise Anderson, just off the top of my head, two guys I think that can make a significant impact there. And guys that Al Durham will probably be battling a little bit for minutes. And I think the other thing with Durham is, can he play point guard consistently? Because I think Devontae Green is kind of penciled in as everybody's starter at point. Beyond that, I think it's up for grabs on who's going to kind of get the backup minutes or kind of share those responsibilities. Can Al Durham be a guy that does it with consistency? I think he did it last year a little bit out of necessity, just because Josh Newkirk was kind of uneven at times with his play, and Devontae Green obviously was up and down as well. Can Al Durham kind of make that leap into a guy who can be your primary ball handler for 5 or 10 minutes a game? Because, you know, I don't necessarily think he's going to be a guy that's a starter or a guy who's getting, you know, more than 20 minutes a game. But if he can carve out some of his time as a ball handler and then maybe playing off the ball as well and showing off improved shooting, I think he's definitely a guy that's going to be in the rotation. How much he plays, I think, is all largely dependent on how well he defends, how well he shoots it, and whether he can handle the ball consistently.
Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall, our guest, InsideTheHall.com, at Inside the Hall on Twitter. This segment presented by CC Power Sports. Alex, before we let you go, I do want to talk a little recruiting. Archie Miller in Orlando last night to start the period. He looks like he's going to at least start his day there. All the IU assistants, by my count, were in Las Vegas yesterday. Another spread out period with a ton of tournaments in Las Vegas, some activity in Orlando with some pretty good teams, and then even in Fort Wayne, that's where Indy Heat will be with Trace Jackson Davis. Of course, Keon Brooks is out. But I expect Indiana coaches to be at all three places probably simultaneously as those events restart today.
Yeah, this is getting into the dog days of summer for those guys. I mean, they've already had 10 days on the road, 11 if you count yesterday. So you got your four here to go, and then you kind of get a little bit of a break. I think some of the players will probably go home for a break here towards the end of summer. The coaches will probably get a little bit of time off to relax, spend time with their families, get recharged before the fall semester gets going. But yeah, I would expect the coaching staff to be pretty active here. I mean, this is your last chance to really get out and see a bunch of guys. So, like I've mentioned plenty of times, you got to be efficient with your plan. You got to know who you want to see. And as much as this is about letting, making sure that certain guys who are your priorities know that you're out there watching them. And I think that's kind of what they aim to do all three of these weeks, is you're not only making evaluations, but you're making sure that the guys that you really want know that you're there and that you're watching all the games. So I would expect them to have somebody there at every turn for Trace Jackson Davis and some of the other top 2019 guys that they're after. And then we'll hopefully here in the next couple weeks, months, we'll start hearing some rumblings in terms of when visits are going to be set up, official visits. Obviously, we got the Hoosier Stereo date set, so that's going to be a huge weekend for visits. And then the season will be here before you know it. But yeah, this is kind of the end, the culmination of a long period for the coaches. And they'll grind it out here these last couple of days, and then probably get some time to rest and get away from things for a little bit before the fall semester starts up.
Alex, we've seen a number of new names emerge, not a ton, but I think a couple new scholarship offers, including mm-hmm. some to younger players that the staff has been able to watch at some of the recruiting windows previous to this week. Do you expect that maybe August and September, I know Hoosier Hysteria is going to be a big weekend for recruiting and visits, both officials and unofficials, but do you think maybe August and September, those times could play host to some unofficial visits maybe from some of these prospects that Indiana is more new with, just now getting in with?
Well, I think it depends a lot on the situation of the player and how their availability in terms of being able to have the resources to make an unofficial visit. If you're talking about a player from the East Coast or somewhere that's going to require a pretty significant amount of travel, I'd say it's less likely that they're going to take an unofficial. The thing I like to watch with these out-of-state kids, especially the ones that aren't really kind of in the Big Ten footprint, if Indiana offers them, that obviously is notable and worth reporting on and worth discussing. But, it doesn't really seem in all cases that it's as serious until a kid actually gets on campus, because we saw with the kid Kira Lewis, the point guard from Alabama, who Indiana watched pretty significantly in the spring, and he talked to us up in Indy and at the EYBL about how he was going to take a visit to Indiana, and it never happened, and then kind of things fall off the radar. So I'm really watching for which kids not only say they're going to visit Indiana, but once they actually come on campus, I think that's when you kind of really look at a kid and say, this is a serious possibility for them to maybe come to IU. That's kind of how I've ordered my recruiting board recently when I've updated it. The guys at the top that I have, the first top seven or eight guys, they've all been on campus. At this point, heading into the fall of your senior year, if you're seriously considering a school and you're going to potentially go there, I think you've, in most cases, visited or have planned in some kind of concrete fashion to take a visit. Now, some of these new offers that are going out, those are worth tracking, and we'll see if those guys actually do follow through with visits. But the kids, telling a scrum of reporters at an AAU event that they'd like to visit a school and actually going to visit a school, to me, are completely different. And to me, that's what I'm going to be watching here as the fall opens up, which guys are actually going to make it to visit campus, and then you kind of go from there in terms of assessing which guys are the most realistic options to add to the recruiting class.
Alex, as we look ahead to Hoosier Hysteria, It'll be the debut of Romeo Langford officially out there on the court at Assembly Hall. Juwan Morgan back for his senior year. You're going to have Trace Jackson Davis, Keon Brooks for sure. They've already got official visits scheduled for that weekend. We know it's going to be a huge recruiting weekend, even for younger players. It has been every year that the event has existed. But can you paint a picture for what you think Assembly Hall will look like? It should just be. I know we say this on a regular basis. Oh, this Hoosier Hysteria is going to be great. It's going to be one of the most packed events. It's going to be a great way to start the season. It normally is. But this year, with all those factors going on, I think it has the opportunity to be a real special situation in Assembly Hall to get the 2018-19 IU basketball season underway.
Yeah, it'll be the biggest one since 2012, I think, the season Indiana started, preseason number one. I don't know if it'll actually get to full capacity. I think if it doesn't, it'll be pretty close. And I would suggest if you're going to get there early, make a day out of it, and probably plan to wait in line for a long time if you want a good seat. Because if the crowds are anything like what we saw at some of those Seymour semi-state regional sectional games, I would say it's going to be, quite an event. I think with, as you mentioned, Juwan coming back for a senior year, with how many recruits will be there, the fact that it's the first look at team, the fact that it's a little bit earlier than usual, the fact that it's Romeo is going to be the first time he takes the court at Assembly Hall as an IU player, it's going to be a night, I think, a weekend to remember. So if you're going to go, I would suggest getting there early and planning on waiting in line. And it's always a fun day, and a great event to go to, especially for folks who don't really have the opportunity maybe to get tickets to a game during the season. It's a great free event to get out to and take in every year, so it's a lot of fun.
Absolutely. That's Alex Bozich with Inside the Hall. Alex, always with us on Thursdays, presented by CC Power Sports. Stop into CC Power Sports, locations in Clarksville, Southern Jefferson County as well, for parts, vehicle sales, and all servicing needs for street and off-road motorcycles, side-by-sides, ATVs, and watercraft. Summer is here, so visit CC Power Sports and let the fun begin. Alex, thanks for the extended chat today. Look forward to our conversation each week, and I'll talk with you again next Thursday.
All right. Have a great day.
And again, Alex Bozich with us each week from Inside the Hall. Don't forget, our Little League Baseball coverage continues tonight, 6 o'clock. We'll be at Decatur Little League in Indianapolis, the New Albany 12-year-old major all-star team. They will take on Highland Little League from Evansville, first pitch at 6 o'clock. It's a big state semifinal game. The winner of that goes to a championship game on Friday. The winner of that goes to the Great Lakes Regional to represent the entire state of Indiana playing against other states nearby. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back and wrap things up here on this Thursday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back here on this Thursday edition of the program to wrap things up. A couple notes here. I mentioned Archie Miller in Orlando to start Thursday. And, of course, recruiting goes through Sunday at 5 o'clock. He was there yesterday and back again. I would be surprised if later today, sometime tomorrow, he doesn't switch and go to Las Vegas, or maybe even a quick stop by Fort Wayne to see Trace Jackson Davis, whose team begins play in Fort Wayne later today. Always interesting to see where the coaches are at. Yesterday, I mentioned a lot of the IU assistant coaches were in Las Vegas, so I'm sure that they'll have those three locations specifically covered, and there are a lot of different options and players to watch out in Las Vegas right now. Ton of stuff going on in that city. They just saw the NBA Summer League wrap up. Now it's time for the grassroots circuit to take its hold in Las Vegas, at least through the end of this final window on Thursday. Yesterday, on Wednesday evening, IU Athletic Director Fred Glass had a walkthrough of Excellence Academy, which is part of Memorial Stadium. Big additions over the last I guess, 2-3 years, a series of three things that Glass wanted to bring to the IU football program. And there was a tour yesterday to kind of show off where that project is at, some of the improvements that have been made, including an academic learning type environment, room area for the players to spend time working and focusing on their academic side of their college careers. Also some expanded weight facilities and increased strength training and athletic training as a whole, facilities for the football program. But absolutely a first-class deal. Zach Osterman had a great report from the tour of those facilities that are in the process of being finalized. I think maybe one phase left to go in that Excellence Academy project that IU football has. That's a look at a few other notes out there. Just a reminder, we'll be back tonight for Little League Baseball on the Big X. I'll be live at 6 o'clock from Decatur Little League. We'll have the New Albany 12-year-old All-Stars in the Indiana Major Division State Tournament. It's a semifinal game. They take on Highland Little League from Evansville. If New Albany wins tonight, they go to an 8 o'clock championship game tomorrow night, which we'll have live on the air. If New Albany doesn't win, they'll go to the loser side of the bracket, still in contention for a state title, but they would have to play at 5 o'clock tomorrow in a semifinal again and then come back at 8 if they win. We'll have all the games from this point forward. And again, hope you can join us tonight at 6 o'clock here on the Big X Sports Radio. Thanks to Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall for joining me, going an extended segment today, talking and covering a lot of ground regarding IU basketball. And don't forget, we'll be back with the Friday edition of our program tomorrow at 11 o'clock. Jared Morris of the Assembly Call will be with me, Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star, and more coming your way on the Friday edition of our program. And, of course, tomorrow we'll give you another update on recruiting, where the coach is at, or have there been any more scholarship offers issued. We'll track it all for you and have a summary of things tomorrow when we come on at 11 o'clock. A final reminder to check out our podcast. If you ever miss a segment or a full show, you can't listen to the radio, whatever the case may be, don't forget you can find us in SoundCloud and Apple Podcast as well. Just search for the Hoosier Report. You can also point your browser directly to soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. Again, soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. That's going to wrap things up for today. Be back with you tonight at 6 o'clock, a Little League semifinal game, New Albany taking on Evansville Highland. Hope you can join us for that. We'll also be back tomorrow at 11 o'clock right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
This is your home for Indiana University sports, 1450 WXVW and 96.1 The Big X Sports Radio.